Then would you bow your heads?
Father, without you, we can do nothing that will really benefit the kingdom. But with you, and with your anointing, darkness will flee, light will come on, and your love will radiate through us to release grace and healing to those in need. I ask that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our understanding and our perception to see and understand your plan for this next wave of grace from the heavens. Amen?
Amen.
I want to take you to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And I'd like to precede it with the word Zion. Many times you're going to see the word Zion in the scriptures, and you relate it to natural things, or yet maybe the natural kingdom of Zion, which is the Jewish nation. But the spiritual meaning relates to the kingdom of God, and a group of people are called Zion. These are the overcomers. Now, I don't know about you, but I cannot be an overcomer unless I overcome something. Yes or no? Okay. So look at your neighbor. Say, you're in the process of learning to becoming an overcomer. And you are going to overcome. Because I'm praying for you. Hallelujah. You say, well, I can't stand you. All the more reason, pray for your enemies. Amen? You know, sometimes your enemies will cause you to lay down things in a way that you could never do with somebody that you love. Yeah, you think? Yeah. See, God's interested in you becoming like Him, not you controlling Him. Getting a clue? He's interested in you becoming the child that you were created to be, and to become the overcomer of all the hurts and pains that you've lived through. It says, blow, verse 1, chapter 2 of Joel, blow the trumpet in Zion. That's a city of people. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountain, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was of old, nor ever will be in the ages to come. So God is talking about an army that is going to be so intense that it's going to really baffle all the nations. You've been drafted. You say the draft was eliminated many years ago. No, it hasn't. The Lord drafted you in a long time ago. Some of you, He's drafting you in now. Watch verse 3. Before them fire devours, behind them a flame blazes. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, behind them a desert waste. Nothing escapes them. They have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like cavalry, with a noise like that of a chariot. They leap over the mountaintops, like a crackling fire consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle. At the sight of them, nations, and I stress the word with an S, nations are in anguish. Every face turns pale. They charge like warriors. They scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swerving from their course. They do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead. They plunge through defenses without breaking ranks. Why? Because they've overcome the competition. They rush upon the city and they run along the walls. They climb into the houses like thieves. They enter through the window. Before them, the earth shakes and the sky trembles. The sun and the moon are darkened and the stars no longer shine. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. If you haven't underlined that sentence right there, you better. Because that is what God is forming. He's forming an army of believers that are overcomers. They're not trying to run away from their responsibility to become whatever God has called them to be. And that's why sometimes you struggle. How many are facing struggles right now? Put your hand up. Way up. Wave them around. Struggles are part of what you are all about. And overcoming that struggle is what we are all about. Because you're not in that space alone. Sometimes the emotions, your feelings, are going to tell you, ah, nobody gives a... And I could, you know, give you a few expletives. But I'm not going to go there. See, the heart of love of the believer is to say to your brother, come on, let go of the old stuff and go forward with the new. God's got a plan for you. It may not be what you've planned for years. How many have had dreams and they got shattered? Thank you. So did mine. Some of my dreams that were given to me by others, with visions and dreams and confirmations upon confirmations, and I had to lay them down. And I remember one particular place and thing that the Lord had done, and he had confirmed it several times over. And I got to the point that I was so disgusted, my emotions were ruling. Now, you guys never had any problems with your emotions. That's okay. But I have. And they were all going in that direction. And boy, everything was wonderful. And it was going to be awesome. And it landed into a great big crash. And I remember my getting angry. Oh, you never get angry, Kim. You don't know me. Ask my wife. Ask my kids. Okay? They see me on a bad day. But the bottom line is, I was angry because God had allowed this thing to disintegrate in front of my eyes, and I wanted to throw it all back at him. No natural project there, right? But that's what I wanted to do, and he held me, and he said, I didn't tell you to throw it away. I told you to put it on my altar. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes right now? Say, Lord Jesus, give me the grace to put the dying dreams on the altar and let your fire come and burn what needs to go and to keep what's good for me. And I'm releasing it to you and you alone. And if you decide to get it resurrected, so be it. But if you don't, it's not going to drag me down. It's not going to pull my emotions apart. I refuse to be torn up over something that hasn't happened yet. Amen? And amen. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number. And mighty are those who obey his commands. And mighty are those who obey his command. His command to me was not to let go of the dream, but to let it sit there. It's been sitting for many years. How many know aged wine gets a better price? Aged cheese has higher and greater flavor. A bottle of champagne coming from the 1800s, how much would you pay?
Too much.
Too much, huh? People do it all the time. Aged products have greater value in the realm of the spirit. Because you wait and it becomes more precious. What am I trying to make you aware of? All of us have emotions. All of us has a natural side. But we also have a spiritual side. The spiritual side that I want you to concentrate on is your inner man that has greater power than the natural man. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18, there's a direction that he gives you to overcome some of this flesh that's in your way. So if you need to go there, let's take a ride over towards the back of the book, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Who's got it? Well, all right. Nobody's putting up their hand yet. 16, verse 16, please, love.
Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always.
Go on.
Oh.
17.
Be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly.
And 18.
Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus.
For this is the will of God for me. See, if you stay focused on the problem, it's going to get so big that it's going to try to bury you. And you'll never become an overcomer. The NIV says, be joyful always. It doesn't say, be joyful because you feel happy. Otherwise, you wouldn't be an overcomer. It would be an emotional thing. Be joyful always is a commitment that you make to yourself. And you say it to yourself. Self, get happy. Be joyful right now. By God's grace, I will be happy. I will be joyful. And you are actually preaching yourself out of depression. Oh, you say, how's that going to work? Try it on right now. Close your eyes. Say, self, be joyful.
Be joyful.
There's no option.
Be a joyful person.
By choice. I'm telling you right now, self. Get over the problems. Get over the broken dreams. It's time to wake up. And to be joyful. It's God's plan. For me. I'm going to give thanks. For all circumstances. Just the way they are. Because it's God's plan for me. He wants me to mature. So if I have a problem that comes up before me this week, I'm going to give thanks by choice. I'm going to be joyful by choice. There's going to be a smile on my face by choice. The garbage has got to go. Because this overcomer will overcome. Hallelujah. This army of overcomers is going to be a new breed of people. And they're going to be walking around with power from on high. You say, well, how's that going to work? Because everything is beautiful before them, and after them, everything is falling apart. I could take you to the book of Acts, but I'm not going to. But I'll remind you of Ananias and Sapphira, who had sold a piece of property, and they lied to Peter. And Peter says, you didn't lie to me, you lied to the Holy Spirit within me. And you kept back some of the money, and you lied. And they both died within hours of each other. And fear of the Lord entered the church at that time. And I remember speaking to Pastor Wade Taylor. And he says, Kim,
When God releases his anointing on his people in a corporate way, like he did in the book of Acts, there's going to be consequences to the liars. And that includes the nations who are lying to the church and the churches. And the churches that are angry with each other are going to be biting the bullet, because they're going to see the truth for themselves. And I'm not picking on any of them. I'm just telling you, if they lie to their people, God will bring judgment. Not me, not you. The Holy Spirit will bring accountability to their mouth. Not your job to clean them up. It's not your job to criticize them. Your job is to intercede. Give thanks in all circumstances. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The healing's going to happen to you before it happens to them most of the time. I'm serious. The healing will happen to you before it happens to them. Why? Because God is interested in a people that are free. And they have overcome all this emotional stuff. And I'll tell you, this emotional stuff is good for about 60, 70, 80, or 120 years max. After that, you're going to face your spirit, whether you like it or not. And I'm serious. Your spirit man is going to live for eternity. And your spirit man has capacities and strengths that you know nothing about. It's time to wake up. And to mature. And to stop bickering about this and that and stuff that has no value to you. It is so temporal, it could go up in smoke tomorrow. 1960, my wife is pregnant. 8 months. Her grandmother is living with us. Or we're living with her dad and her grandmother. Big crisis. She got so sick we had to take her to the emergency room, and she stayed at the Wing Memorial that night. And we kind of called her one of her daughters, and we said, please come over, Auntie, because we had to take your mom to the hospital. And so after she worked till 11 o'clock, she came over to our house. And we prayed and we asked God for grace, because it was the only mom they knew. And Irene was brought up by her. She was 82 years old. Well, we went to bed after my aunt left to go home, which was probably about midnight. And at 1:15, we were standing on the roof and the house was all on fire. And I was hunting for a ladder, screaming at the top of my lungs because I jumped off the roof. But she, being as big as she was, it wasn't time for her to do any jumping. And her dad was holding her so tight she thought she was going to have the baby on the roof. Because that's the only place that we could get out. Because the rest of the house was full of smoke, and the room that she was in, her grandmother would have been dead. Because when we got to go into that room after the fire was done, the only thing that was holding up the radiator right next to her headboard was the pipes. That's where the explosion took place, right underneath her bed. Look at your neighbor, say, your fire could be spiritual. All your stuff that you're worried about could be up in smoke in just an hour.
Or less.
So stop your worrying about the dreams that are dying. Jesus is still the resurrection. Hallelujah. And he's living inside of us. Amen? I'm just going to remind you again. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Being patient with yourself is another thing. And briefly, I can tell you this. When you decide to stop putting blame on yourself and letting God heal you, you're going to see some changes. And may the anointing of the Holy One of Israel keep those words in your heart.
And I know that my brother has a message for you. So, Brother Bob, come on up. This is called installment number 2.
Yes.
He gave us installment number 1 last week, and I think, again, he's going to give you a short little word, and we'll go from there. I didn't give you much choice there, Bob.
You did all I needed. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm going to get the legal part of this over today because I don't have to worry about it.
Good.
Our lawyer, Jeff?
Yes, Jeff Benet.
Jeff Benet charges us $50 a year to maintain the legal financial records for the corporation. So that's one of the bargains that we have in life, being a church. But I wanted to show you this thing. This is our checkbook. And I think nobody can see this, but the name of the church is The House of Brethren for All Nations Incorporated. I want that INC on the end of it because it says something about us and who we are. Also, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that went into the bylaws of our church. Do you remember when we first got together after we signed the papers with Jeff? That we must have met, I'll bet we met 15 times.
Oh, at least 15.
At least 15 times. My house, this house, Kathy's house, we met to go over the bylaws. It was Bible school for Bob. I was up against the two of them that knew a lot about the book, the Bible, and a lot about the church. And we decided when we did the bylaws, one thing, I've never seen it before, I may never see it again. We decided that if we're going to be close and agree in agreement with each other on major items, we can't have a 2-to-1 vote for the three of us on the board, Peggy, Pastor Kim, and myself. So we agreed and put in the bylaws that everything we have, everything we vote upon, will be a 3-to-0 decision. If one of us should be against, we talk it out, we work it out. If it takes another 15 weeks, we'll plan on it. What that means for you is that you've got a church that's really a rock, a symbolic rock. And because of the nature of our business, it's so good to look out and see all these people. It's really great. It's the people that make the church. And hospitality is an example. If we need something, somebody finds it. We have so many people. I won't even name them all because I wouldn't want to offend anybody. We've got some tall people here who are making significant contributions. We run this church, if you take away the rent and the other big items, we run this church on $1,000 a year. That's about $83 a month for things like church supplies, office supplies, little piddly things, because we don't have to buy them because people bring them in and give them to the church. So that's some common too. And I'll see you next week.
I'd like to add one thing, Bob. When we made the decision that we would never make a decision that would hold a church in a certain path or a certain decision that would affect the people, if we could not all harmonize, we wouldn't do it. And we were told by officials that this could never be done and it would never work. And we've been now 10 years. And we've never come to a place where we couldn't agree. Sometimes we had to kind of swallow a little bit and each one had to swallow. But we all went back and we prayed and we asked God for His grace so that we would see clearly and see from His perspective what He wanted for the church. See, it's not all about what I want or what Bob wants or what anyone else wants. It's what God wants. And when we get to harmonize with what God wants, all the war ceases because you become an overcomer. And even when we went to the attorney, he said, Kim, we've set up churches before, but he says, this clause is never in there. I said, well, if we can't live in love with each other, how can we preach love? If we can't be in harmony with 3, how are you going to be in harmony with 30? Mm-hmm.
I said, no way. I am not going to sign something that I can't believe in. And I can't believe that we cannot agree. Sometimes we agree to disagree. And that puts us on hold for a little while. And we do pray and we fast, whatever is needed. Whatever is needed. So look at your neighbor, say, this is house.
This is house.
Of prayer.
Of prayer.
And we know how to pray.
And we know how to pray.
And we're not going to
stop.
Until all are in harmony.
Until all are in harmony.
For God's glory.
For God's glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless the food.